from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to another Red Friday edition of Locked On Chiefs. And more importantly, this is a game day Friday. The game is actually on Saturday. Another preseason game, another big game for the Chiefs. Although this is a much bigger game for starters than it really is for the depth at this point, because the starters will play the most. I am Chris Clark. I am the co-host of Locked On Chiefs. He is Ryan Tracy, and you may know him from RGR Football. And I do want to take a quick second to shout out to all the iTunes reviews we've been receiving. We really do appreciate that. We're closing in on 300, so thank you so much for all of those.
Very much appreciated, truly from the bottom of our hearts. And Chris is selling himself short. He's also an analyst at Chiefs Digest, and you're going to see some stuff coming out once we get to the regular season. It's going to be tough to keep up with, but we will have all kinds of content for you.
So, big news, obviously, and we covered this in yesterday's show. Trekendrick West was released. To me, that is a very good sign for Damian Williams. And I missed it when they were talking about practices, that he was back to practice. So it's a good sign for him.
Yeah. And honestly, the fact that you have a guy like Trekendrick that's been on this team and been in that third down back role for a number of years to have such what has been clear this preseason as an obvious upgrade, despite the concussion, I think that's a bonus for the team as well.
No, absolutely. And to think, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Trekendrick when I say this, but it was also pointed out that he was the Chiefs' most expensive running back.
Yes.
And I'm not so sure that he isn't maybe their fifth best running back.
There certainly is an argument to be made there, and not to run the guy down. I think that Brett Veach and Andy Reid did the calculated move and did what they purport to do. I know people kind of make fun of it, like it's as though it's some kind of aphorism, but it's not. They let him go early so that he can catch on with a team, because without the 75-man cutdown day, the free-for-all that happens on cutdown day is so acrimonious, people can get lost in the shuffle. It's really second to free agency frenzy. And at that point, I think they've done him a service in letting him be out there early, let his agent start making inquiries.
Yeah, no, I do too. The other side of it is obviously they really liked him. He was one of the favorite players in the locker room. And Ryan and I talked about this when some of those other running backs were brought on, that it really looked like it would be hard for them to keep him this year. And that was before the injury even. So, I really appreciate what Trekendrick has done for the Chiefs. They really needed him when he stepped up and had a big year. Unfortunately, he hasn't been able to produce close to that since. And I wish him the best. I hope he's able to find a good place for him to play. And, I'm guessing he will land on his feet somewhere, because I think he is probably better than most of the second backs on a football team, if not almost all of the NFL's third backs. Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't necessarily mean third downs, but.
Sure. No, I'm with you. And I will say this too. If there is any kind of injury between now and opening day, and for some reason Trekendrick hasn't found a home, I will not at all be surprised if the Chiefs go very quickly to bring him back.
I would be. I would be, just because they have four running backs right now. It'd have to me, it would need to be two injuries for them to go that direction. But I understand where you're coming from. Now, the other side of it is, and one of the other things that has been out for a couple of days now, is that George Ioka got signed by the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
For a league minimum deal. That tells you one thing. That tells you one thing. He didn't care about going anywhere else. He wanted to go play for Minnesota.
Well, he wanted to go play for Zim. That's
why. Well, right. And that's really what it comes down to. But my whole point is, he wanted to go to Minnesota. He didn't want to go elsewhere. And honestly, it's probably not a bad move on his part. If he can go in and be effective in his system, he has a chance of getting another semi-decent contract after this year.
Well, and it only makes sense. I mean, he can be effective in that system because he knows it like the back of his hand. Right. Mike Zimmer was the coordinator in Cincinnati when they brought him in. I can't remember where his draft slot was. I want to say he was a second day guy, but
I think fourth
he
round.
Played for Mike Zimmer. Fourth round? Okay.
I think.
But he played for Mike Zimmer. He knows Mike Zimmer. He knows what they want to accomplish, whether they've added some wrinkles to the scheme or whatever. But he can step in day one and be a force in that defense. And I can't blame him. I would have, if I were Brett Veach, I would have made a serious run at him. But we'll never know, really, unless Brett decides to tell us, you know, off the cuff someday.
Yeah. I honestly would have offered him 3 to 4 times the money that he took.
Yeah, $880K. For a guy that was better than Ron Parker last year, that was better than Eric Murray, that was better than Dan Sorensen, at least according to PFF's ratings.
Well, I think he's been a better player for a long time, but that's neither here nor there. A couple of other things in news real quick that we should touch on. Eric Berry, sounds like the team is optimistic. They just don't want a setback. They are okay with him not practicing. I'm still nervous about it, but, you know, the team doctors know what they're doing. Hopefully he's able to come back to practice and get ready for the season. I think he'll be fine without playing in a preseason game. You know, it is concerning to me that LDT is still in the concussion protocol.
I can understand that, but I have to say, if anybody's going to be probably a little bit more cautious or give the truest feedback to the training staff, I got to think it's him.
It's true. Yeah, and Steven Nelson is still in the concussion protocol, so there's a pretty decent chance that Skandrick is going to get some decent playing time. But let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we will start talking about what we want to see from the starters on the offensive side of the ball and then on the defensive side of the ball. Which side do you want to start with, Ryan? I'll let you pick.
You know me. I always want to talk defense.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think really what I'm looking to see is – Is Andy blowing smoke or Raglan and Hitchens actually going to play? This should be slotted for a half plus. I won't say three full quarters, but at least a drive or two into the second half is my expectation. And they got to see these guys. This is, I mean, never mind that they are physically in the middle of the defense. They are the guys that have to monitor everyone else. They have to get that front aligned. And this is something that they're going to be without Alan Bailey, who's still out with a knee. They said it was a contusion at first. Then it was, oh, it's a sprain. Evidently he collided with someone. I think they said a teammate during the Atlanta game. But, you know, that's going to get a little bit of rotation for some extra guys.
He didn't play in the Atlanta game.
Oh, then it must have been the day before. I'm sorry. I have my signals crossed.
So,
but either way, you're going to have some younger guys in there. You're going to see D-liner play a little bit more. You're going to see Hamilton play a little bit more. And so it's going to be up to the linebackers to make sure that they're aligned, to slide them around and get them in the correct positions.
No, and Hitchens and Raglan are two guys that I'm really excited to see. So I'm hoping that they're able to play, and we will see if they're able to play well. I will say this, though. I don't expect them to play deep into – because I do think that they will take it easy on them since it's their first game. But that could be wrong. I guess here's what I'm really saying. I wouldn't be worried about it if they only play maybe the first quarter or even maybe the first drive or two, and then somebody else comes in and plays for them. Because they're
as long
going
as they play, right?
Right. As long as they play. If they play, then I'll be happy.
So, well, and here's the bonus is you're going to see Akeme Oligwe take a lot of snaps, and that's again a good thing. He has room for improvement, but he's definitely the third inside linebacker on this team. And I think what's really interesting is you got a little bump for Ben Neiman, who we talked about a little bit. And for me, it's going to be telling is when they play the Bears. You know, yes, it's Matt Nagy. Yes, the offense might be a little bit more similar to the Chiefs offense than it has been in the past, but they still need to run the ball. And so I think Ben Neiman, if he gets in before Terrence Smith, I think that's a telling sign. I certainly hope that he does because I am tired of watching Terrence Smith get beat up in the run game. But that will be kind of the tipping point for all of you Neiman fans. If you see him in there with Oligwe in the first half at all, it's a very positive sign for that young guy.
I do think that Dave Tobe had something to say that was very important when he said that he trusts Ben Neiman. If I'm Terrence Smith, I'm getting worried about my job.
Yeah. And there's another thing that Dave had to say, and I'm sorry, I don't know. All of a sudden last week I started calling all the coaches by their first names like I know them. I apologize, folks. But Coach Tobe, like, he let a little something slip at his presser, and BJ caught it, and I'm not going to go into it right now, but I'll hint at it. I'm going to do a quick video, a game plan video, and talk about it there. But listen to Dave Tobe. He is the assistant head coach. He is a guy that has nearly as much say in this roster as Andy Reid does, because beyond the obvious offensive starters and defensive stars, you have guys that have to play for Dave Tobe.
Yep. And special teams is extremely important when it comes to the NFL in general, but it's extremely important to the Kansas City Chiefs and extremely important to a guy in Patrick Mahomes who may need a couple more extra chances because of big special teams play.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar.
With Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, I recognize that name somewhere.
Yeah. Their quarterback?
Bomb dropper, we're calling him.
Yeah. My point is, though, is that special teams can swing the game. And with a young QB, you want to be the best you can possibly be in every phase of the game other than the QB. So you try to take pressure off his shoulders. If special teams can be better than top 10 in the league or even top 5 in the league when it comes to returns, that really helps. And yes, he can throw the ball 70 yards. We've seen it in person or seen it live on TV anyway. So he can throw the ball 70 yards. But it doesn't matter if you can get shorter fields. It's just going to help the entire offense.
Yeah. I mean, and to that point, even further, you probably aren't going to see a whole lot of that. It's going to be iffy if you see Chesson. And if you do see Chesson before that, because of the special teams aspect, that's going to be telling. Team, especially at that particular position, is going to run through this offense like they're approaching this whole week as though it were an in-season game.
Yeah, and I have to wonder – sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, depending on when you see somebody, that's giving you a very large hint at the depth chart.
No, I completely agree. And that hasn't played a preseason game yet. So the question I have is, yes, he's back. Yes, he's practicing. Yes, he can do all that stuff. But can he actually play? Because I'm sorry, I like Dad as a player. I like what he's been able to do for this team. He hasn't been the weapon that we were hoping he would be. But special teams-wise, he still has a lot of value. And he still has a little bit of value to be kind of a gadget player.
Well, and I'll tell you this, despite what anybody has to say about Dat, when they've needed him, he's stepped up.
He's made plays.
And I think they're banking on some of that.
I completely agree with you on that. All I'm trying to say is that if he is not able to suit up and even get a snap before the end of the preseason, I don't see how you keep him on the opening day roster.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And obviously they can't put him on PUP because he's already practiced. So anyway, we were trying to talk about defense.
Right. That's the way that it goes.
Yeah.
Beyond the linebackers, you're going to see that rotation like we talked about with Alan Bailey out. Can K-Pass and Breland Speaks actually get home? Saw some push from them. Saw some decent in terms of the run game, especially in K-Pass's direction, setting that edge. But they got to get home against this Bears offensive line that has some holes, has some very good players, but has some holes. They got to get there.
Well, and I have to wonder what we're going to see from the defense, because does Justin Houston line up on his normal side of the defense, or does he continue to take snaps against the left tackle?
I hate to tell you, I think his normal is now mostly the left tackle.
And that's what I said. Seth disagreed with me because it was so few snaps. I still think that they're looking at maybe moving him, and I hate that idea. Yeah, I absolutely hate it. Well, it's not just because you're moving your best player. It's because you're moving your best player from a position and you're opening up a position for them to run where a team usually wants to run anyway. Yeah. That's why he's so fantastic on that side against the right tackle, because that's where teams want to run.
Well, don't put it against him either. Justin can play on the left, maybe first and second down, and maybe they flip him on third. There are ways to accomplish what they see as their goal in making D and Justin more productive as a duo without sacrificing everything that Justin brings that D doesn't.
Which is a lot.
Well.
But there's a reason Justin Houston's getting paid what he's getting paid compared to what D Ford is getting paid. Exactly. When we start talking about the corners, it's going to be very interesting.
Just there's so much to talk about. We start talking about the corners, it feels like we've been talking about the corners for like 6 months.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how and when Skandrick plays.
Well, according to what we saw at practice on Wednesday, no, but you know what? Line up and guard a man deep. And it looks like what they did on Wednesday, and folks, we are recording this a little bit early, but that's the information we have. He started with the top three. He jumped Tremont Smith immediately. And Bob Sutton was very – there I went saying his first name. Sorry. Coach Sutton was very, very effusive, in my opinion, about the level of experience and using the word savvy to describe Skandrick. I think he's going to get a long look at being the number three guy. I expect Fuller and Amerson to start on the boundaries. And whenever they're in third, I expect Skandrick to take over for Fuller as Fuller moves inside.
Well, and if you were a rookie that is on that roster, it should piss you off that they did that. But maybe we'll see even more fire from Tremont Smith than we've seen, because I think he has a lot of talent. And I'm hoping he ends up replacing Skandrick a lot sooner rather than later. But
well, I'll tell you this, too. Seeing some fire from him would be a good thing. That's not a negative. If this pushes him to excel, all the better.
I understand what you're saying. I think he's already shown that he has ability. Now, whether or not they believe in it is another issue. But obviously, they brought in Skandrick. They think he can play. I guess with what it sounds like, we'll find out. Trubisky is not a great QB, but we'll see what Nagy is able to do and scheme up for Trubisky against that Chiefs passing defense, especially with the safeties out. Let's take another quick break, and we will come back and talk about the bomb thrower.
One point of contention: it's bomb dropper.
Well, whatever.
I'm just saying. If I'm going to coin a phrase, come on.
Okay. Maybe I'll remember that you said bomb dropper as opposed to bomb thrower, but. Regardless, Patrick Mahomes, big game for him. He's going to be in there for three quarters, and it's an even bigger game, and I didn't even think about this until just now, because he's going up against a guy that was drafted in the same class as him and was drafted ahead of him in Chicago.
Right. And this is a really unique kind of matchup, especially because Matt Nagy's bringing the Kansas City Chiefs offense to the Bears.
Right.
There'll be new wrinkles that Matt's done himself, but it's going to be very similar.
Yes, it will. And the other part of it that I'm going to find very interesting is that I think Patrick Mahomes really wanted to be in Kansas City. So I don't think he's upset that he's not in Chicago. But he will always be the guy. He will always be known as being drafted behind Trubisky. So it is going to be something that he'll take a little bit of extra pride in if he outplays him.
Well, you know what I think is probably one of the cooler things about Patrick Mahomes? He does not seem to care.
No, he doesn't.
He just seems to be – I mean, same thing with Deshaun Watson. Every time he's brought up to Patrick, it seems like he is just steady on, got the veteran moves down. I'm taking one game at a time, quote, unquote, blah, blah, blah. But literally, when you see him talk about his performance after the fact, and I took a lot away from last week's post-game press conference, very, very – businesslike, very self-aware of where his faults are and things that he'd done wrong. And we've heard all camp about how he doesn't make the same mistake twice. And I get that, and it may be getting old for folks to hear, but it's something that I see across, not just from Reed saying it, but the way he acts in the game, the way I see him on the sidelines, the way he acts in the pressers post-game. I think this is something that, while it might be a competition in the back of his head, I don't think it's a me against Trubisky kind of thing.
No, I don't. I definitely don't think it is. But it is something that I think will stick in the back of his mind. He may not come out and say it, but you know guys like that are extremely competitive. So now the other person that I'll be very interested to watch, and there's several, but another one I will be very interested to watch on Saturday is going to be Sammy Watkins. Because if Patrick has a big day, Watkins could be one of the reasons why.
Yeah, let's hope that Sammy gets it all together. I've kind of been waiting for him to spark up, and actually it's been limited. You know, it's been I don't know. I just want to see them show a flash. Although I don't think you're going to see another bomb like that. I think they kind of let that out of the bag, and it's going to be pretty subdued in terms of really stretching the field. But Sammy's got to make catches. He's got to do little things. I want to see him get loose and get some yak.
Absolutely. It'd be very good to see Sammy get loose and be able to show the skill that brought him to Kansas City to begin with. I still think that there's a lot of value there, and I think that people are starting to write him off a little too quickly. I did read somewhere, and I'm not going to mention where, but I did read where he's the fifth option in the offense, and he's not paid enough money to be – or he's paid too much money to be the fifth option, and I really don't think that's truly the case. But, again, I'm not going to repeat where I read that.
That's ludicrous, but at worst, Sammy Watkins is your number three option, period. There's no way around that.
And that's fair, but I look at it and I say, who better to go out and get than another weapon for Patrick Mahomes to try to get the most out of him the earliest you possibly can? And you bring in a guy that has phenomenal hands. He hasn't shown it this season or this preseason so far yet, and I get that. But he is known to have phenomenal hands, and he is a student of the game. And let's also be fair about it. He's still learning this offense, and this is a very complex offense. He is not Jeremy Maclin, who knew this offense coming in. And they're moving him all over the place.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, he's not the only pass catcher that I'm looking forward to seeing. There are a couple of guys that I think, because of their upward momentum the last couple games, weeks, practices, may have an opportunity to get a little bit of run with Patrick Mahomes himself. And two of them I'm looking particularly forward to is Kemp and Blake Ellis, because son of a motherless goat.
You've been saying that for quite a while, so I get why.
Now I've been screwing around with it so much. Now I thought it was right.
Yeah, I know. So, hey, y'all. We have a new tight end. So his name is Blake Ellis.
One of the guys that I'm really looking forward to seeing is Alex Ellis, because we have to remember that not only is it about who the third tight end is on this team, but it's also about the fact that Demetrius Harris is not available week one due to the suspension. So somebody's going to make this team just on that fact alone. And I'm really hoping to see that Ellis can get in, get a couple of targets, and maybe get a little bit of chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. I like the kid, and I hope that he gets a shot at making it.
Well, I think the guy that's going to get a chance before Kemp is probably going to be Garrett Dieter.
I like that plan.
Just my thought. I mean, I could be wrong,
you're absolutely right.
I like Marcus Kemp. I think he could be a phenomenal receiver in some aspects for this team, just because of his size. But I'm not so sure that he's not being beat by Dieter right now.
And I'll tell you this. People want to complain that, it was against twos and that kind of thing. Well, here's the facts, folks. Yes, it was against twos. You can say that all day long. He juked the guy out of his shoes and scored points. And at the end of the day, I don't care who you're doing it against. If you're scoring points in this league, even in the preseason, you're going to get the staff's attention.
Yep. And he was productive the week before as well. I think he had another couple catches in that game as well. So, in fact, if I remember correctly, I was actually in my car going to get dinner during halftime. I didn't make it back in time, so I was listening to Mitch Holtis, and Mitch said something about Dieter came in and caught a 9.5-yard pass when they only needed 9 yards to get a first down. And that was the second week in a row he did it. So he is being productive. He is getting first downs when he gets the ball and taking advantage of his opportunities.
And that's really all you can ask for a guy in that particular role. Now, it doesn't hurt that he happens to be Pat Mahomes' best friend on this roster. So I think that camaraderie, that chemistry may be something that eventually bleeds over to that, because I think Henny threw that touchdown to him last week, right?
Yep. No, I agree. I definitely think that it could lead into it. But I also think that Dieter is also starting to show that he is being available on special teams. And if he's going to be the fifth wide receiver on this team, because let's face it, he's not passing the top four right now. That's not going to happen this season. He has to play special teams. Has to. And so, you know, that's going to be interesting to see. Now, the one person that we haven't talked about, you know, when we're talking about actually looking at the game that I'm really excited about seeing, I'm excited to see Damian Williams again. And let me tell you why. I want to see what they do with him when Patrick Mahomes is still in, because I'm guessing that they're going to be playing him as the third down back, because I still don't think Spencer Ware is going to be playing.
I agree.
And even if he does, I still think that Williams gets some carries, and I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see how they use him.
Well, I also think it's going to be particularly telling how he looks in pass pro. That's probably the number one thing that's going to determine not whether he makes the team. I think that's pretty much set in stone at this point. But how much playing time he gets early in the season, I think, is going to be determined by how well he protects Mahomes.
I can't argue with that. Although, if they're going to release Charcandrick West because they're keeping him, you'd have to think that he's been good enough in practice.
I would think so, too. And I'll tell you the other thing that I'm looking forward to with Damian is I want a Williams and Williams backfield. I really like what they're doing out of the split backfield. I think it's they didn't do much of it last year. It's not a new wrinkle, but I think they've done it more this preseason than last season. I think they probably still need some reps at it. So I'm looking forward to seeing Damian and Darryl together on the field, because I think that's a combination that they can run the ball with, even in power formations, but they both catch the ball well. Darryl's no slouch catching the ball, so I'd like to see them try to exploit as many mismatches as they can.
I'm just happy you're not asking for a Williams, Williams, and Williams.
I'm not going there.
Well, it's confusing enough seeing three of or two of them on the field together, let alone you could have three. So, anybody else you're really looking forward to on the offensive side? I still want to see more from Andrew Wiley. And I know I've gone mostly first string, but really that's what this whole game three is about.
Yeah, I mean, because Wiley's your starter against the Bears, but he's a backup.
Well, but what I will say is that I'm also intrigued to see if Litton goes above McGloin for this game.
I certainly hope so. I got to think there's no reason to invest another season in McGloin. I think Litton, even at this point, has shown you enough. I like his arm talent compared to Mahomes. I think he can throw the ball not near, well, I won't say not near, not as far, but I've seen him throw 50, 55-yard passes. Yeah. So I know he can do that. And I think that gives you a little bit more continuity if Pat stubs his toe and misses a quarter or something.
Well, and it isn't as big of a deal as to how far he can throw the ball. It's also power on throws.
Right.
That's even bigger than how necessarily far you can throw the ball. Mahomes would still be a great QB if he couldn't throw the ball 85 yards.
I completely agree, but that's just the easiest way to compare their arms.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm just saying that when it comes to throw power, it matters a lot more when you're talking about hitting small windows and getting balls on receivers quick.
I want to see Parker Anger play some guard as well. I know he's slotted at right tackle now, but I want to see him get some reps. I'm not that comfortable with Cam Irving yet. I want to see them take every opportunity to find who is the next guy up or who is another combination they can try to make. Because this line, I think, might be a determining factor of this offense.
Certainly could be. Although Mahomes has shown that he can excel without a line. The NFL is a different level, obviously, but he's shown that he can excel and move around and still do well without a very good line. So I hope that's not something that's going to hamper them throughout the entire season, but we'll see.
I agree. Long and short, who do you think comes out on top?
Win-wise, I don't really know. I mean, honestly, I think Kansas City's offense is better, at least the first-string offense. I don't know enough about the Bears to know whether or not their second, third string guys can put up points or not. I think I'm hoping Mahomes has a couple of touchdown throws. Because I think it'd be good for him to get those going. And it doesn't have to be to Tyreek Hill. It can be to, I honestly would love to see him throw a touchdown to Travis Kelce, Chris Conley. Obviously Sammy Watkins as well, but Conley.
Everyone gets one, I say.
Fair enough.
Well, that, folks, we leave you in good shape for this game. I hope you enjoy it. This is the one to watch. I'll actually be watching it live, so I'll actually be able to comment on it, you know, within a few hours. We will try to have post-game for you and get that up as soon as we can. Chris, anything else you want to leave them with?
I think you covered it.
Rock and roll. Well, folks, we will talk to you post-game. Enjoy the game, and we will talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.